what I was working for myself, you know, I was all over Texas. It wasn't just in Houston. So that's another thing. Yeah, it's just about what you're willing to do. So when I was in private practice, I knew a couple people and was slowly getting in there, but I was also going to other places to get the experience so that when I got the opportunity, I would know what was going on.
Hey friends, this is Kyla DeNagno, and every season I speak to a graduate of the Southern University Law Center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That is where I graduated from law school, and it is very near and dear to my heart. So let's get right into this episode featuring an SULC graduate. All right, so welcome to the You Are Lawyer podcast, Larry Williams. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. What do you do right now? Like, what's your practice area? And is this what you went to school for?
Yeah, so I do criminal defense, pretty much 100% criminal defense now. I actually left private practice, so I'm about 4 years in right now. I work for Harris County in Houston, work for the public defender's office. So I represent people, indigent people who can't afford to hire attorneys that are charged with criminal offenses in Houston.
And are you from Houston, or what led you there?
I'm not. So I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee. Lived a lot of places, though. I'm a military brat, so I lived all over the country, a bunch of places. And then, of course, went to law school in Louisiana at Southern. And then I just ended up in Houston. My ex-wife was from Houston, so we came here. And then I've been here ever since. So it'll be 9 years next year.
Wow. Okay, very cool. So when you were in law school, is this what you wanted to do? Did you always think you wanted to do, like, public defense work?
No, not at all. But I did want to do criminal defense. That is what I went to law school to do, and what you know I have done since I started practicing. But I did not think I was going to do public defense just because I was ready to get the money. So I was like, you know, I'm going to be representing these people, and, you know, it's going to be a bunch of cash. And there was some cash, but, you know, I just found out that at the time I really didn't like the business aspect of practicing law. I just wanted to be in the courtroom and able to do my job. I didn't like the part of being a bill collector, or advertising, keeping up with all this stuff. I didn't really like to do all that. I just wanted to get in the courtroom and do my job. So This allows me to do that.
Yeah. All right. So you got to give me more information. Did you, like, were you doing mock trial and stuff when you were in law school? What is it that made you realize that you wanted to be in court?
Just growing up, I mean, so I, as far as criminal defense, I had, you know, uncles, family members that had been incarcerated, did some time for things. I myself had been, you know, had run-ins with the police, different situations as a teenager. So I knew I wanted to do criminal defense for sure. I had an uncle. I was fortunate enough to have an uncle and an older cousin. They were both attorneys in Mississippi. And my uncle mainly does commercial litigation is mostly what he's done. But he did do, you know, some criminal defense stuff on the side. But when he had his own firm, he was doing commercial lit. And then he became a partner of a big firm in Jackson, Mississippi, and he's done commercial litigation. So I would work for him in the summers when I was in high school sometimes and, you know, see what he was doing, representing these insurance companies or tobacco companies and stuff like that. And I didn't really want to do that either. So I knew I wanted, and, you know, and he was in the courtroom. He's definitely a litigator, but, like, most of it, it's not every day, you know. Most of it is in the office, and if he does have a big shot that goes to court, it's like years of pre-lit and stuff before that. And I was like, yeah, I don't want any parts of this. And even when I was in private practice, so I did personal injury as well, and it was cool. And like I said, there's money, but it's just like, just paperwork, just process. I'm like, man, I don't like this. I want to be what the action is. Every day is something different. You never know what you're going to see. And I'm just getting to talk to judges, getting to talk to people. I understand that's what I wanted to see, you know. So I guess you can say that, or, you know, what is that, Matlock, you know. You go back to the Matlock, like, hey, man, this, I want to do what that dude's doing. Okay. Old school Matlock or Our Time, like the Lincoln Lawyer, the movie. Way before the show came out, but the movie, I that's who I thought I was going to be. You asked, like, Was it ever public defense? No, I thought I was going to be, you know, Matthew McConaughey, just get that envelope dropped off, and I could just be like, oh, yeah, that's how much it's supposed to be, but we'll see.
You still got time. You're still young.
No, I don't think this is forever, but, you know, right now I'm happy.
Yeah, I mean, that's what matters. Yeah. So it's 2024. You know, we've been out of law school 9 years.
Can you
believe that?
Yeah, that's crazy. Time flies. I was talking to a couple of people, you know, time flies. Fortunately enough, I'm, you know, still close enough to Southern. I got, and we got a decent sized following out here, so we're probably, I'm for sure we probably got at least maybe 40 graduates out here in Houston that practice. We probably got, you know, from our class, at least probably like 5 or 6. And from the time we were there, that's probably about 12 or 15 from our 3 years there. So I'm fortunate enough to get to see some of them in court every now and then. So it's cool, but nine years is insane. I was talking to, I think, Arion, the other, I saw her in the airport or something one time, and we were like, yeah, we're going to have to start planning for this 10-year reunion. So I was like, but I'm looking forward to it, you know, because I haven't seen a lot of, I've probably only been back a couple of times, and I haven't seen a lot of people. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully we can get together and do something big that's worth it, because I haven't seen a lot of those people in 10 years, and can't believe it's been 10 years.
But, I know. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. So let's go back to the business aspect of practicing law. Right? So you were working for cousins or uncles, seeing the transactional side, and you were like, okay, I'm not interested in that.
Yeah.
And so then, did you run your own law firm, or was it just that you were in a smaller firm where you got to see all of the day-to-day stuff, the payroll, you know, the rent payments, all of that?
Yeah, so I ran my own, so I was solo. I was solo practice, just me, you know, no assistant, just me. You call me, I'm answering the phone, I'm doing the contracts, I'm doing everything, you know. You owe me a payment, I'm calling you. You know, it's not nobody else. It's me doing everything 100%. I shared an office with another lawyer. So, you know, kind of split that overhead, shared office space. But we each had our separate practices. So, you know, it was me, you know, 100% me doing everything. And like I said, I liked some aspects of it. But I just got tired of, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's also because I was young. You know, I came straight out of law school to solo practice, so I think that's part of the learning process too. You know, when you do that, you're not charging what you should be charging. You know, you don't know how to ask people for this amount of money, or realize that you should be asking for this amount of money, because you know you don't know. You have to learn that stuff. Like, how long is this case realistically going to take? You know, they're charged with an aggravated assault in Harris County. How long does it take for those cases to actually work through a resolution, right? Uh-huh. So you think, oh, I can just charge this amount, but then you're still going to court, you know, 18 months later, and that money's gone.
Yeah.
You know, so it's different. You got to learn, you know, one, your worth. You got to learn what you should charge and how much time things are going to take. You got to learn, even here, you know, different courtrooms. When I was in private practice, you know, depending on the judge, I might charge more. I know certain things are going to be more difficult. I know, the bond is going to be higher with this judge. Like, you just learn the tendencies once you've been in it for a while, and you really know what you got to charge. Uh-huh. And you know how to work payment plans. You know that you need to charge at least 50% up front if you're going to do payment plans, instead of, you know, I take just $250 down and then you can pay me every week. Because they're not doing that. Everybody's going to tell you they're going to do that, or, you know, taxes coming. I got you when my taxes come back. You know, you can't fall for those little tricks that you're more likely to fall for in the beginning. But, yeah.
Okay. So would you say that it was distracting having to do all of that yourself, like literally being everything?
I won't say it was distracting, because I still got what I needed to get done inside the program. But I will say it's probably not the best business model. You know, I think you need somebody. One, to just be a gatekeeper, you know, because sometimes people will call you with no intention to hire you. They just want to talk or see if they can get some advice. Sometimes here, you know, certain judges, like Mr. Means, before they consider you indigent, they might tell you you have to call a certain amount of lawyers and get their prices, right? And come back to them with a list. This is how much they say they can charge me, and this is how much money I make in a month. Judge, I can't afford these lawyers. And then they'll appoint you a lawyer for free, right? So sometimes it's just calls during that. So I think it's better to, if you can have an assistant or somebody there to kind of be a gatekeeper, to kind of find out who's serious, then that will help. And I think also, like, if somebody else is doing that little stuff in the office, then you can either be in court doing what you have to do for the clients you already have, or you can be out you know, mingling or, you know, trying to find more clients, you know.
Yeah.
A rainmaker of sorts. You're going out there trying to bring more money in while they're focused on the in-office tasks, the administrative stuff. So I think that's the way I will do it if I ever get back to private practice, for sure.
So when you opened your own firm immediately out of law school, was that intentional, or was it, you know, you made it through the 3 years and you were like, I don't want a boss. I think I can do it myself.
No, that was intentional. And I knew I didn't want to work for anyone at the beginning. I kind of worked under some people in Baton Rouge, you know, Harry Daniels, Chris Washington. I kind of worked under those guys and learned from them, and knew that, you know, hey, this is what I wanted to do. I didn't want to work for anyone. I wanted to go out and work for myself. You know, I really still don't like working for anyone. Luckily, in the job I have, there's not a lot of micromanagement. It's like I still run my own docket. You know, I have like some supervisors, but it's really not that. As long as I do what I need to do, I do what I need to do. So I like that about it. But no, I knew intensely that I wanted to work for myself from the beginning. Just because, I mean, you know, that's how money's made. That's how millionaires are made. I think, you know, I bet on me. So that's kind of, you know, I'd rather bet on me than anybody else. So,
yeah. A lot of times it's easier if you just work for yourself because you know your own work ethic. You know, you'll stay up all night and get it done. You know, like, you know that you'll make it happen. And yeah. Sometimes when you got to, like, motivate another person or you got an assistant and you're like, are you doing your part? It is sometimes easier, but then you have that downfall of you doing everything, which is what you were talking about earlier. So.
Yeah, and I will say, it's you know, you got to know yourself, like you said. You have to know you because it's a lot different. You know, getting paid every 2 weeks versus, you know, you eat what you kill. Like, if you don't bring nothing in, then there ain't no money coming in. It's a totally different life. And I'll say that it changes, too. You got to know what you got going on. So when I originally did that, you know, it was me. You know, I was not married. I didn't have kids when I originally started that. But then life changes, all that stuff, you know. And you got little ones, and you need insurance and all this stuff. You start paying all that out of pocket. You're like, hey, all this other stuff is important, too. So I can mm-hmm. go through it for a while and have that stuff taken care of, right? Also, I'll say, I mean, one reason why I was comfortable enough to do it is because I knew that I had prepared for it, right? I had worked with a lot of different people that were self-employed and kind of seen how they handled the business, seen them doing different things. I went to all these different, like, trial colleges and things like that to kind of prepare myself or try to give me a leg up on the learning curve. Because, you know, when you first come out here, you know, you're in law school, is nothing like the practice of law. You know, it doesn't really prepare you in any way. I don't think a lot of people realize that. They think, like, hey, you went to law school, you just come out here and you can answer all these questions and do all this. And I'm like, hey, it really has nothing to do with each other. Like, law school, you're just learning, like, theoretical things and these concepts, but it's not correlated really to the practice of law at most law schools. There are some that are changing now, trying to be more focused on that, but I think most law schools are not really correlated to the actual practice of law. So I think that I tried to prepare myself by taking these classes and going to these trial colleges for the area of law that I wanted to practice to kind of speed up my learning curve so that I could be ready to go out straight from law school and work for myself.
And even at one time, didn't you get an LLM?
I did.
Yeah, to, like, even learn more. What was that all about? What was that like?
So during the time, so I was taking the bar and, you know, didn't pass it the first time. So I was like, you know, what am I going to do, blah, blah. And I was living in Houston in the Thurgood Marshall Law School at Texas Southern University. I found out that they were starting a new LLM program in immigration and naturalization. And so I went and did that. I was lucky enough to be one of the first four graduates of that program. It was the first program of its kind in the country. So, you know, like I said, I'm one of the first four people in the United States to have a Master of Laws in Immigration and Naturalization. But I wanted to do that. And even that was just thinking forward ahead, you know, because I was like, I do criminal defense is what I want to do. I'm in Houston. There's a lot of immigrants. There's a lot of people of different nationalities who end up here who are not U.S. citizens and they get arrested, right? And so what happens if you're practicing criminal defense, if you're representing someone and they are not a U.S. citizen, a lot of times you'll have to stop what you're doing on the case. You have to call an immigration lawyer, have them retain, tell them what's going on, have them tell you, you know, these are the issues, this is what you can or cannot do. These are the ways you can resolve this person's case, whether it's a plea or whether it's, you know, some type of diversion program. But these are the things that you can do for this person that can keep them from being deported or that can give them the best chance, you know, to not be deported. You know, they may tell you, hey, okay, they don't have any criminal history. They're here legally, like they have a visa. So you can give them, if you can plead them to this first time, you know, simple marijuana possession thing, you're good. You know, they've got an exception, but it just depends. So I figured, you know, hey, I'm going to be out there. I don't want to have to call somebody else. I'll just learn how to do this stuff myself, and I can charge people more money because I have this knowledge and this specialization. So yeah. I don't have to go get another lawyer. I can do it myself, and it'll be more revenue for me.
Okay. So I'm just trying to, like, track the – lay it all out of my head, right? Get out of law school, start practicing for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then how many years in did you get the LMM?
So we got out of law school. I didn't start practicing. So we had the journey. So we graduated in 2015, and I didn't get licensed until November 2017. So I was taking the bar every 6 months, you know, and I did it no breaks. You know, a couple. Sometimes people will take a break, and I took it, I think, 5 times in a row, just trying to pass the bar. So in between that time, from 2015, May of 2015 through November 2017 is when I got the LLM in 2016, 2017. I think May of 2017, I graduated with the LLM. It was a one-year program, so 2 semesters did that. May of 2017, I got the LLM. November 2017, I was licensed, and I was self-employed until about 2020.
Okay. All right. And I was just curious if it was like an easy, like, streamlined path or if it was a little bit rocky. And it sounds like it took a little bit longer than you expected, but it's paying off because now you get to do what you wanted to do.
Yeah. And I'll say it took longer than I expected to get started. But once we started. Like I said, I attribute that to being ready. I attribute that to networking. You know, a lot of people that I would have to give kudos to. I've already said Harry Daniels, Chris Washington, but as far as in Houston, Samuel Millage, another SELC grad. So I got out as soon as I got licensed. I was, you know, trying cases with him. You know, he had cases, hey, come try this case, come do this. And when I was working for myself, you know, I was all over Texas. It wasn't just in Houston. So that's another thing. It's just about what you're willing to do. So when I was in private practice, I was doing Harris County, Fort Bend, which is a neighboring county, like all the neighboring counties, and then I was going to East Texas too. So about 3.5-4 hours away, I was doing a lot of cases out there in East Texas and different counties, and just going to work, getting this experience. You know, that was it, because it's a little harder to get in, I would say, in Houston. You know, such a big county, and you know, you got a lot of lawyers, a lot of reputations, and if people don't know you, you know, or you don't know someone, it's a lot harder. So I knew a couple people and was slowly getting in there, but I was also going to other places to get the experience so that when I got the opportunity, I would know what was going on. And so, you know, positioning yourself is big. So.
Okay, very cool. So you've been talking a lot about mentorship and the people that, like, you've looked up to or who have helped you. And I think even going back to when you were working for family members when you were in high school and kind of watching and seeing what being a lawyer was all about, how important would you say mentorship is, you know, in terms of being a lawyer and finding your way in this practice?
It's huge. Now, I say, you know, it's huge because I really do believe, you know, do your own work, look into stuff, and outwork everybody. But I also believe that you don't reinvent the wheel if you don't have to. You know, somebody has seen this issue before and dealt with it before. So if you have those people that you can call and say, hey, I got this issue, what would you do? Even if you don't do exactly what they do, it just helps you with brainstorming. You know, what have you done in this situation? Or what could I do? You know, and even if you don't choose to go that route, at least now you have the idea or you have somewhere to start with your process, you know, how you're going to solve that issue. So I think it's huge. But I also say this, let your mentors be mentors. And also, people don't understand that mentorship is a two-way street, right? So
yeah.
So go in and let people mentor you, but also make sure that they understand that I'm trying to learn this, right? The part of mentorship is to no longer need mentorship at some point. So a lot of times you'll get these older lawyers that come and they're like, hey, just bring me these cases and yeah, I'll work them and we'll do this split, or just bring these cases and we'll do this. And it's like, no, I'll bring you these cases, but I'm bringing you these cases for you to teach me and show me how to work these cases so that at some point I don't have to bring you these cases so that I will learn how to do it and then I can do it myself. So it's important, but don't be taken advantage of either.
Yeah, that's a really great point. Okay. Make sure they're mentoring you. You're not just being a funnel for them to
right.
give them all the work.
Right.
Okay. So this podcast, the audience of the podcast is young lawyers, lawyers practicing 5 years or less, or law students.
Great.
Do you have any advice for them about what they can do with their law degrees?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one, I think you can do, one of the best things about a law degree is that you're not boxed in. You can do pretty much whatever you want. I think you can go to any, you know, company if you want to work in a Fortune 500 company or whatever. Any job you really want, you can apply. You can go and say, I have a law degree, and they can find something for you to do. It may not be the job that you apply for, that you interview for, but they can see, okay, he's got a law degree. He's got these problem-solving skills, these analytical skills. We can use you to do something and work. You know, and we've seen it. You know, we've seen it with just our friends or just people that we know, alumni. We've seen, you know, we've got sports agents, we've got lawyers, we've got in-house counsel, we've got entertainment lawyers.
You got podcasters.
Podcasters. We got people that just own businesses. We got restaurant owners with law degrees. We got people that just, you know, just own businesses. But we got chefs. We got people that, you know, have cookbooks and all that kind of stuff. So I think you can literally do anything with this degree. So don't box yourself in.
We already asked for the advice. What else you want to tell the people?
Just keep pushing. Just keep pushing, man. You talk about law students and lawyers practicing in the first 5 years. Just don't get defeated. You know, a lot of people are going to tell you, you know, you don't know this, you don't know that. You know, you'll get that stuff, especially, you know, if you're working for yourself or you're talking to opposing counsel on these PI cases or even claims adjusters. You know, they'd be like, let me talk to your boss. I'm done talking to the claims adjuster. Let me talk to another lawyer. Like, I just say, man, know your worth, know your value, respect yourself, but also do the work. You know, a lot of people are going to tell you, you don't know this, you don't know this, but if you put in the work, you can show them. Put in the work, read whatever law you need to be up to date on, you know, be up to date on that law, that case law, that kind of stuff, because you'll find that a lot of these older lawyers don't, you know. They just rely on what they know from memory or this is how it was when I learned it, and they don't look at that stuff, and it changes. You know, the law changes. So, like, I would tell them this, just outwork everybody. It's the motto, just outwork everybody.
All right, very cool. Well, Larry, thank you for spending some time with me, another Southern University Law Center graduate, and telling the people all about your journey to become a lawyer. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. I appreciate you.
Bye.
You too. Bye.
Thank you for listening to You Are a Lawyer. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend and leave a rating of this podcast. New episodes are released every week. So keep taking risks in your legal career, and I will talk to you on the next episode. Bye.